Let's freaking go. I am being fake happy right now because there are few games historically that have pissed me off more than what happened this past weekend in Tiger Stadium. If you want the harsh truth about this team, the college football playoff, can they still actually make the SEC championship game? We're going to break all that down today. Let's go.
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real.
You are looking at the SEC championship scenarios via Brian Holland. If LSU wins out, Tennessee loses to Georgia or Vandy, Texas loses to Arkansas or Kentucky, and A&M loses to Auburn, LSU is in the SEC championship game. There's also plenty of other scenarios where LSU can get into the SEC championship game. And this is via MRed53. LSU and A&M is plausible if certain things were to happen. I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn. I think there's a piece of me that would be mad if LSU made it to the SEC championship game because we don't deserve it. We do not deserve it. After so many bad first halves, so many poorly coached teams, and look, would I be happy for the players? Yes. Would I be happy for all the coaches and the analysts? Absolutely. But do you think your head coach deserves that? And at this point, I don't think anybody feels that way about Brian Kelly. Now, let me be clear. I have been very critical of Brian Kelly. This has been the most critical I have been of Brian Kelly since he has been the head coach at LSU. And I think a lot of you can say basically the same thing. But what I would tell you as well is I'm still a believer with the recruiting classes coming in, with a lot of the positive momentum with NIL and all that stuff. I still think he should be the guy. I still think all the coaches should retain their jobs, and let's see if we run it back and some things changes. But I know a lot of you want to see changes at the very least at the play caller position, which could happen this offseason. So there's so many different questions regarding that, but I am not sure if LSU is going to finish out the season with three wins. And you see the poll question attached to this. Now, I want to say this before we move forward, and I do think this is very important to the Brian Kelly conversation. I want you to ask yourself, do the positives outweigh the negatives with Brian Kelly up to this point? Obviously, we all point out the 39 scholarship situation and turning the program around, building a new staff, firing coaches that weren't good. But on top of that, there have been a lot of negatives that have outweighed a lot of the positives. Brian Kelly this season was gifted what I would consider to be a favorable schedule. Brian Kelly this season was gifted a really good offensive line, and they have underperformed. Brian Kelly last year was gifted one of the best college quarterbacks of all time, and you lost three games. So we are to the point now where a lot of the big positives that he's changed, including offensive line recruiting, is a big one. Another one that's an absolutely huge one is tight end development and recruiting. It's never been at this level before. And a lot of other things, such as organizational management, right? But at this point, LSU is in disarray. We are in disarray. Now, is the sky falling? No. We are not Florida State. We know who our head guy is, but a lot of you, including myself, have a lot of concerns. And we now have 3 years of sample where we could point to and say, maybe up to this point, we have played more mid or bad football compared to good football? And I want you to ask that question. How many good football halves have we had? And how many bad football halves have we had? Go through it yourself. I have gone through it. I obviously throw out a lot of last year's data because you had such unfreaking believably good offense and such unfreaking believably bad defenses. But this year, where you've had a pretty good offense and a pretty good streaky defense, you begin to see that we have had more bad halves than good halves this year. In 2022, yes, we managed to go 10-4, but I would say we probably had about equal amount of really good halves to really bad halves of football. And that's fine. That was the first year under Brian Kelly. But in year three, a lot of what we witnessed on Saturday should not happen. And you could go to twitter.com/PowerHourLSU. You could see a full thread, or you could go check out the hour plus long film study we did on Sunday, where we went through and pointed out individual coaching mistakes, not player mistakes. Those player mistakes are there. And a lot of those player mistakes falls back on Brian Kelly because he refuses to try new players. But there are objective coaching errors that happen on Saturday that are inexcusable. Clock management, inexcusable. Taking your headset off with 11 seconds left to go in the first half, not good. When he took his headset off on the sideline, at that moment, he could have told LSU to rush in and run another play, run a Hail Mary, like we were begging him to do. I've had many Alabama fans say, Carter, I was shocked. Shocked that they didn't run a Hail Mary. And if you think I'm making that up, there are Alabama fans under the film study that brought that up. You run a Hail Mary with 3 seconds left because Alabama can't do anything about it. They didn't have any timeouts. That should have been easily relayed at halftime. We need to honestly reevaluate all of our in-game communication. Obviously, Brian Kelly, before he came to LSU, was known mostly as a coach really good between the headset. That was something Notre Dame fans did tell me about him. But between the headsets, he's not really been that good this year. He's made a lot of errors. It's just how it is. Okay? Now, has he coached some good football this season? Yeah, he has. I thought he managed the end of the South Carolina game pretty well. And a lot of other things. And you guys know I am one of the more pro-BK LSU YouTubers who you'll find. But this Saturday was, to me, especially compared to expectation, because a lot of LSU fans knew Les Miles was gone toward the end of his tenure. A lot of people knew Ed Orgeron was gone at the end of his tenure. Since those guys have left, and you factor out those final few seasons, there's really not a whole lot of games outside of maybe 2010 Tennessee that you would consider to be unfreaking believably poorly coached games. But if you factor in that going into the bye week, LSU emphasized two things: stopping the zone read and making life easier on Garrett Nussmeier. Neither of those things happened. Now, were there some more wide open plays schemed up, such as screens and misdirections? Yes. Were we able to get some of these outside zone runs off? Yeah, we did. We had to overload one side of the line of scrimmage, which allowed the backside corner to make the touchdown-saving tackle, but it worked. Okay? It worked. So before we talk about Florida or anything else, we did do some good things offensively, but the problem was two things. Number one, Garrett Nussmeier played bad. At least in the A&M game, he had a good first half. He had two bad halves of football versus Alabama. Now, his margin of error was zero because our defense wasn't any good. But they did have a turnover, and what did he do? Well, he turned the football over right after that. And the next thing I will say, and I saved it for 10 minutes in, because I don't like picking out one player who is a year two guy playing an extremely difficult position. But the DJ Chester situation has gone too far. And I say this because There are people that watch this channel that know DJ. There's all kinds of people that watch this channel. And you guys know it is so uncomfortable for me, especially if it is a younger player, to single out any one player. But the problem is nobody ever really asked about centers. And another problem is if a quarterback is playing bad, guess what? The coach is going to be asked about it. If a receiver drops a pass, the coach is going to be asked about it. If coverages are broken down, coaches are going to be asked about it. The problem is not many people pay attention to the center, okay? And a lot of you are super diehard LSU football fans. And a major issue is DJ Chester. It is a major, major, major issue to the point where you're doing a disservice to the young man by continuously playing him because he knows he's struggling and can't figure it out. You have got to switch things up. Now, does LSU have another center? Well, I do have a solution. And it might not work, but at this point, what I've understood about the center situation at LSU is nobody wants to make a change for a couple of reasons. Part of the struggle with subbing out a center is the snap itself, okay? One bad snap can cost you the game, okay? And you have to snap 60-plus times a game, and we run exclusively out of shotgun, okay? It's hard. And DJ Chester, as bad as his PFF grades have been, his snaps have been pretty damn good. And that's really hard for a first-year center. The second thing is we've had some injuries on the front. But I am telling you right now, even if LSU does not feel comfortable to put someone else at center, it has gotten to the point where he has struggled so much. And in particular, in this Alabama game, you've got to make a change. You've got to, okay? And if anything, you're doing him a favor because that's how bad it's gotten. To me, I might be overblowing it, but you guys watched the film study. You guys have watched all the other film studies. It's not the first poor game that he's had. And the thing is, it would be different if we had another year, if this wasn't his first year. But if I remember correctly, I'm not sure if he played center in high school. I think he played offensive tackle. Okay? I think LSU needs to try somebody who I think could work at center. And this will not be well received. And that is perfectly fine because he plays a different position. And his name is Bo Borderline. I do know Bo Borderline has snapped the football some, and he has played some center at LSU. Bo Borderline, part of being a center is being well-liked. You are the fulcrum of everything. You are the single most important player outside of the quarterback. You are the only player who objectively touches a football every snap on offense. Bo Borderline knows this offense inside and out. He's going to have chemistry with everyone else up front. Okay? I would try it. Now, is he the same caliber of athlete as DJ Chester? No, he is not. But at this point, DJ Chester is getting driven back so much and is falling down so much that it wouldn't be much of a difference. So I would seriously consider Bo Borderline at center. Just give it a shot. This is a year three guy. This is a guy who, like a lot of other players, loves LSU. And right now, he is playing blocking tight end. Okay? Now, do I have any intel about Bo Borderline potentially working in at center? No. This is purely my suggestion. That is it. I would give it a shot. Okay? I would give it a shot. But they've got to try something else there. They do. Now, I've shared everything that I wanted to in my opening. Is there more? Yes. There's a whole lot more. But this chat isn't about me. It's about you, the viewer. Power Hour LSU is a community. We welcome in so many viewers. This was our most watched film study this past Saturday. I hope you watch all our others. I will also say, I am not a player, nor am I a coach. I did not play at LSU. I did go to LSU. I did play football. I'm not as good as anybody that dresses out on the team. These are all my best educated guesses. Do I have some inside information? Yeah, I do. I do. But most of what you hear comes from how I feel about the team. Okay. And in all my criticisms, in all my analysis, there are so many factors that none of us will ever know. None of us are in the meeting rooms. None of us are coaches. None of us are players. But when I tell you what happened on Saturday was the single most disappointing loss of the Brian Kelly era, I mean it. I'm sick of it, like each and every one of you. That doesn't mean I'm saying he should be let go. That doesn't mean I'm saying this guy's head should be cut off. That's not what I'm saying at all. It's just the God's honest truth, and you guys need to hear it from me. Now, I would also like to issue a small apology to quite a few of you. Number one, we did have to push a live stream back 15 minutes tonight because I am a college basketball announcer. I'm very blessed to be a play-by-play college basketball analyst, and I would love to do your game. It doesn't matter which school. My dream is to do LSU, but I don't know if I'm going to get that opportunity tonight. My dream is to do an LSU women's game. I would love that. But Patrick Hart's really good. But I feel like most of you feel that I am measured, in my opinion. I do not back it up. Well, I will never just say something just for the sake of it. I look at stats. I look at film. Look at analytics. I rewatch games. All those different things. Okay? Now, South Ark Stars did win. We had a William, Jared, AP, Larry, Slade Roy for center. Huh? Trust me, if there's anyone in that locker room that wants to get it done, it's definitely Slade, Michael, Christopher. Okay? The worst BK losses, Tennessee in 22, A&M in 22, Bama 24. Bama 24 is definitely worse than the other two. Definitely worse than the other two. Because I'll also say this will come off as really sour grapes. I don't know. Like, Tennessee 22 was a really good team. I don't know if 24 Bama is good. I know for sure 22 A&M is not any good. But yeah, I think A&M 22 is probably the worst. It's probably the worst because we're still in the playoff. We're still in the playoff contention. Okay. Now, here's the problem with the DJ Chester criticism is that I do think at this point they need to make a switch. But I will tell you that DJ Chester is not out there for a lack of effort. He's trying, okay? He's out there putting his ass on the line, okay? Now, I will tell you this, and this will be the most direct criticism you will ever hear from me about a player that is currently playing on the team. But there was one thing that happened in the game that is simply unacceptable. On Jalen Milroe's second-to-last touchdown run. And a lot of you remember it as him going into the purple end zone. Major Burns making a business freaking decision, not tackling Jalen Milroe with our freaking playoff life on the line. Deserves benching. I don't care if Landon Ibieta is the only safety that we have to go to. I don't care if we have to put Javon Nichols back there at safety. I don't care if it's Osberry. I don't care whoever the hell it may be. with the game on the line, a multiple-year starter from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, decided to make a business decision to not tackle Jalen Milroe. I can understand some Jordan Gilbert criticism for missing a tackle. He's trying! He's freaking trying! I don't ever see Jordan Gilbert give up on a play. But you cannot do that. And what did I say? I said it publicly. I said it on Patreon. One of the worst decisions was running it back with Major Burns. It was a bad decision. Okay? It's been mostly not good football this season. It's been mostly not good football. And we had a full season last year that said the same thing. Okay, we tried him at nickel corner. Y'all, he was getting burned in practice. I'm sorry. It's what I was told. It's what I saw. And obviously he did some good things in the box. But y'all, that was piss poor. I really don't mind. I'll be honest. The only reason I have been so vocal about switching out DJ Chester is that he's not playing well, but he's trying. Jordan Gilbert's out there trying. I swear. If I see another player make a business decision, and for those that don't know, I'm not going to play the clip because I will go into a frenzy. Emory Jones out there playing hard. Has it been his best year as a year three starter? No. But he's out there playing his ass off. And we'll get to Garrett in a second. Like I said at the beginning, he played like ass. Okay. And I don't mind mistakes. College football is so hard. I have been very lucky to be on the sideline for games. I would hope every single person gets to experience how freaking fast it's moving. Hell, go stand on the sideline for a high school game. It moves really fast too. College games, it's car collisions. Car collisions. These are big dudes running really fast. Jalen Milroe is a tank, okay? He's a tank. I cannot stand that, though. Cannot stand it. It was for our playoff lives. I won't play the clip. I won't do it. I won't. Because I will go crazy. Can't do it. And I will say, there's way more powerful people than me that were not happy about it. And I'll leave it at that. Okay. I'll leave it at that. He's got to be benched after that. You can't, because if you actually watch team, if you watch footage as a team, okay, everyone's got to watch that clip together. How can you reasonably stand in front of a team and say, oh yeah, we're gonna run this guy back out there? Okay. Let's see what Colin Jackson's got. I know he missed a tackle on punt team. Who gives a damn? Let's see what he's got. Let's see what Toviano's got. Everyone, clear the benches. Nobody gives a damn. Nobody cares. Play new players. Major Burns, Sage Ryan to the bench. Let's see someone new. Okay? Let's put someone out. I guarantee you, I will tell you this. If I was ever on the field, you would not even notice me on the field because the game would be moving too fast and I'm way too small to play any Division I college football. But you know what? I would freaking put my life on the line for any college football team that would ask me to dress up for him. And if that meant getting run over by Jalen Milroe, hell, I'll do it. I think every single one of you would reasonably do it. To Matador there? Not acceptable. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. Okay? I get it. Like, if anybody was ever coached hard in their lives, you know you would get benched if that happened. Okay? So that's it. It's all there is to it. Okay? Not going to be well received by many, but I'm done playing around. I'm done playing around. Okay, because you as a fan, you don't get to directly, you should never go directly at somebody on Twitter or anything like that or social media. If they see it, they see it at this point. There is a lot of downside for me being very critical of a player. That's fine. And it happens. It happens. Some people cut you off. That's fine. Okay. So when I really say something like that, I mean it. I really do mean it. Okay. Now, this is where I'm going to defend Blake Baker. All right. I need to see him with guys that really want to be out there. Because if I see things like that, I'm like, well, hell, if there's guys out there that aren't willing to go put their body on the line for a playoff elimination game at home, then what are we doing? What are we doing? Why not see what could potentially happen? Okay, why not give it a shot with some of the young guys so Blake Baker can see what his defense looks like with people that actually want to be out there? So is this inexcusable from Blake Baker? Yes. The zone read stuff is inexcusable. But I'm not ready to give up on him just yet. Now, I put a lot of my reputation on the line backing up Blake Baker. I still think he's a good hire. I put a lot of reputation on the line for not saying that I was a big fan of Matt House when he was hired. Okay, I'm not going to switch up now. I'm going to stick behind Blake. Okay? But, yes, Saturday was inexcusable. I will tell you one thing that really pissed me off about the defensive game plan is the first thing was stopping the Milroe run game, and we did not do that. But the second thing was also a problem, all right? Zion Alexander had a tough game. I'm okay with that because that was really his only bad game in the season, and it didn't really hurt us in the long run. And I was also fine with Blake Baker saying, look, that's our best DB. If he gets burned, you know, we got to have matchups somewhere. We got to trust someone in coverage, okay? I didn't really mind Zion Alexander struggling. I really, really, really didn't, okay? What I hated, though, was the pitch and catch to the running backs, okay? Just the simple angle route completions. That was not good. That was on the 2022 Alabama tape, okay? They love throwing to the running backs. Milroe loves throwing to the running backs in big games because it's a safe throw. And in particular, in the rain, he's going to want to prefer to throw that. And we just gave up two huge third down conversions on that, one of which would have resulted in a punt, and the other would have resulted in a field goal instead of a touchdown to start this game for Alabama. Okay? So, once again, I know Zion Alexander had a tough game, and I'm defending him because we would be in a really bad spot right now if he never courageously came back from injury. So, there you go. Let's go to William's Super Chat. He says, I have no words for this game. William, thank you so much for your generosity. I really appreciate you and your friendship, okay? I know, very uncomfortable live stream, but that's okay. I know I'm normally Mr. Positive or even keel, but look, safety gloves are off. Let's go to Jason. LSU winning the next solidifying next year's class, and you have the horses to compete. This is a good Super Chat. So Jason wants to turn the page. I can guarantee you one thing. I can guarantee you one thing for maximum pain. LSU is going to win these final three games because that would be the most LSU thing. They come out and play unbelievable football for the next three games and barely miss the playoff. Now, once again, if LSU wins out, there is a plausible scenario that they're in the SEC championship game. But if they were to win out and they found a way to win the game versus USC, then they wouldn't be in this spot. They would be in the playoff. But look, as far as the future is concerned, I'll give you two things that excites me about the future and one that doesn't. Okay? We all have our opinions of Joe Sloan, but The way I understand Joe Sloan is that he is a very open-minded guy. All right, so he's not somebody that's going to be stuck in his ways and will be willing to change things up. Obviously, Joe Sloan is well on track for landing the biggest college football recruit ever at LSU. That alone is very impressive, and I'm hearing really good things on the Underwood front, but nobody really knows anything until that dotted line is signed. But all accounts, the visits went great. Okay? Now, the second thing that excites me about the future is obviously the recruiting class mixed in with the coaching. Okay? If you want to make changes to the coaching staff, sure, go for it. But if you do that, it will affect the recruiting class. It's just how this shit works. It's just how it is. Okay? So, look, if you want one but not the other, then it's hard to have both. It's hard. Now, does the LSU brand help you out a little bit more during a transition year? It does. Okay? Look no further than when Brian Kelly came in. Brian Kelly's first recruiting class, it was really hard to keep some of the fringe guys. But guys like Will Campbell, Emory Jones, it's a little bit easier for them to stay solid. Okay? That brand does help if you do want to make changes. But the recruiting class is really good. It is really good. Now, there is one negative, and it's one that requires a little bit deeper thought. And it honestly will also require LSU to rethink its roster management. Okay? It's coming up right after this. First, a word from our partners. Book your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy Jaron Thomas, who started this venture years ago. And look at the smiles on these faces. This state-of-the-art photo booth is so incredible. I work in the wedding and event industry, and anytime I see a 360 photo booth, it takes your event, whether it's a reunion, a wedding, a conference, no matter what it is, it takes it to another level. Give them a follow on Facebook. Book them today. There is a special deal going on now where you can get up to 40% off. This is all the info. Give them a call today, 318-469-4265, or go to Zion Imaging. That's xyanimaging.com. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. Alrighty, so let's talk about the current world of college football. If Ole Miss were to go on and win the national championship, and I actually think they are. I've watched a good bit of college football. I do think they're the best team. Okay, I do. All right. And I have long shared the controversial opinion, and you can go back to the film study and said it at the time. We were very lucky to win that game. But Garrett stepped up, Mason stepped up, Aaron stepped up, and Zay Alexander stepped up. You know, a lot of guys did. And in particular, Swinson and Weeks. Okay. We had a bunch of really, really, really good performances to grit that out. And look, There will be a lot of discussion about spending in the transfer portal. Y'all, it makes no sense to not do that. And I'm not saying LSU did not spend in the portal this past offseason, but I think it's pretty clear now that one of the more valuable resources you can have is a player who put together good film in the previous season, like the direct previous season. They had good objective film. Ole Miss got a bunch of those guys. None of those guys suck. Not a single one of them suck. All of them are good. All of them. And they came from different schools. Their best linebacker transfer from Arkansas. Best DT transfer from A&M. Best end transfer from Florida. Best corner transfer from Alabama. No problem. So continuity, it's BS. If you can play, you can play. Spin. We got to spin. That's all there is to it. We got to have some proven commodities. I understand. Brian Kelly wants to rebuild through the high school ranks. Guess what? You don't get a ribbon for developing high school players. Get guys that can flat out play tackle football. It's just that simple. I can give you 1,000 different film things and schematic things that we need to do better on offense and defense. And as you guys hear, I fawn over Steve Sarkisian's offense and Lane Kiffin's offense and Josh Heupel's offense. And those schemes do play a major, major, major difference. Those guys are the three best play callers in the SEC. But guess what? They've got dudes too. All right. So get in the portal, in particular on defense, get guys that had good tape this year that are willing to move on. Okay. So, for instance, obviously there's a weird situation here with this one, but Jacoby Matthews, I would go do whatever it takes to get him here. Okay. Obviously, he's not playing this year, but I saw him with my own two eyes in person, tackle Jaden Daniels in the open field. And that's enough for me to confirm my priors that he's one of the best athletes I've ever seen come out of the state of Louisiana. And when he committed to LSU initially, I stopped in the middle of a Target anniversary trip with my wife to do a video. That's how good of a football player I thought he was. And I knew some of his high school teammates. I knew some people in Ponchatoula. And they're like, yeah, this guy's really special. He's good. He's really freaking good. Okay. There's a lot of different guys I would say, hey, let's get him on board. But we got to go get guys in the portal. I mean, that's just not even a question. Now, anyone that's watched this year knows that that needs to happen. Okay. Now, why is that even more important? Well, Jared says we need NOPOD to come rebuild this LSU defense. Huh? I love it. Jared, thank you for your super. Gotten a few supers tonight. I want to go to Jason's super chat. And Jason and I are longtime friends. Great guy. And Jason spends a lot of money for his son to go to games. So he has a lot of skin in the game. Same thing for Jared. He goes to a lot of games, and William as well. Okay. This should be a concern for you going into next season. Championship teams, pre-transfer portal, and honestly, even during the portal era, are built by the recruiting classes 2 years prior. And Jay, you are right. I do say that a lot. I just always want to make sure we're all on the same page. Okay. And I did it again. And it's at South Park thing. Okay. Okay. Jay, I'm glad you called me out on that. And I'm also a Lil Jon fan. For those that got that, you're my kind of guy or gal. But on a serious note, you take a look at the best LSU football teams of all time, the most talented LSU football teams of all time. What did all of them have in common? They were loaded with players from the recruiting class 3 years prior. So next season is 2025. So the best players who will all be entering more than likely the prime of their careers, the year three of their careers, those are often the guys that are the fulcrum of your team. All right. 2019 LSU, Joe Burrow was the best player. I don't think anyone would disagree with that, the most important player. And you had some 2018 recruits like Terrace Marshall, Jamar Chase, and so on. But it was a 2017 recruiting class that populated that team the most. Chaseon, Deculus, Queen, Jefferson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Cushenberry. Well, actually, Sadiq Charles, Neil Farrell, so on. The best recruiting class ever at LSU on a hit rate perspective and so many different perspectives. So for the next season, what does the 2023 LSU recruiting class look like for next year? How many superstars would you say are in the 2023 LSU recruiting class? Well, the answer is one. There's one bona fide, if we were to pick and bet our life savings on this guy being a superstar next season, it would be Whit Weeks. All right. Everyone else, you probably still need to see a little bit more. I will tell you one guy that has quietly gotten better this season is Deshaun Womack. And I probably would have played him a little bit more in the Alabama game. But that's not here nor there. It wouldn't have made that big of a difference. But Deshaun Womack has gotten better. But that's part of the problem, is we're still waiting to see some of these 2023 recruits to come to fruition. And I'm not talking about transfer portal players. I'm talking about high school recruits. Whit Weeks is very good. We know that. That's not a fact. I mean, that's not a debatable fact. And Ashton Stamps, we would like to think, is going to be very good next season. But that's 1.5 bona fide superstars from that class. Lance Hurd, obviously, we know what happened there. Transferred to Tennessee. He would be pretty good. He's decent at Tennessee. He's had some rough moments. Now, I will say, there are a lot of pieces in this recruiting class that I like a lot, and I played a lot. So, that is a concern for me, which is why you need to be active in the portal. You need to be active. You just do. That's just how I see it. But that could change in these final three games. One thing we tend to forget is older players do clog up opportunities for younger players to show you something. I slobbered a little bit there. Older players do clog up snaps. So we don't know if some of these younger guys can't be it. Now, normally you have a pretty good idea, but you don't know that. You do not know that. Nobody really knows until the bullets are flying. All right. Now, would I do this in the swamp? No, I wouldn't mind playing the veterans again versus Florida. But in the final two home games, you need to see what you have. You need to see what you have. Call Me Larry says, Whit Weeks is not a superstar. He's good, but not close to Devin White. Okay. Let's sit down real quick. Take you to school here. You know, you're compare Whit Weeks to the best linebacker to play here in this era. Okay. So let's not use Devin White as a comparison. I think that's kind of crazy because Devin White's the best. Like, I think most would say he's the best. Now, you can argue Brady James and a few others, but he's the best. But have there been weeks where Whit Weeks has looked like he is in the Patrick Queen tier? Yes. Yes. Like, that's not debatable. Now, Whit Weeks had some bad games. Yes. South Carolina was tough. Second half versus A&M was tough. And everybody was bad versus Alabama. What do all three have in common? The zone read. So, that's a part of his game where he needs to work on. But he's a year two player that is really freaking good. Okay? The point is, if we were projecting in the next season, would we consider him to be someone bordering on the superstar level? Yes. Could I say Whit Weeks' game versus Ole Miss is one of the best defensive games we have ever seen from any LSU Tiger of any era? Yes, I don't think that that's hyperbole. I don't. I think it's in the Kevin Minter 20 tackle tier. I think it's in the Devin White on the road versus A&M, on the road versus Florida tier. I think it's in those 16 tackle Brady James tiers, right? There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of Kelvin Shepard games you can point. I mean, there's so many. But the point is, I think he's closer to there. I think at the bare minimum next year, he's going to be Kendall Beckwith. Is that fair? Like, the floor for him next season is a multiple-year NFL player? Yeah. I think he's, well, there are different players, different style of players. I think he's Quan Alexander good. But also, like, that would be like me coming on here and saying, hey, you know what? Ashton Stamps is good, but he's not Patrick Peterson. Here's a question. Carter, what do you think of the college football playoff ranking? LSU at number 22. This one comes in from Sam. Okay. I don't give a damn. I just don't. Like, I really, really, really don't. If LSU were to magically be in the SEC championship game, I'd like it. Yeah, for sure. Wait, you're calling Whit Weeks out for speed? What?
Like, are we not watching the same?
Huh? Huh? Well, you didn't catch Jalen Milroe. Yeah, who has?
Like, come on. I mean, I'll be honest.
One thing that I do feel we need to do a better job of is just being on the same page, all right? Like, this will sound crazy, but versus zone read, I would take every single defense not named Mississippi State's over ours. All right. Now, versus all other quarterbacks, sure. But every other defense outside of Mississippi State who's being coached by someone who's never called plays before, I would take their defense over ours. And this would be the only thing. All right. I don't know defensive scheme as well as Blake Baker. I don't. That's not a newsflash. But the thing that I keep pointing back to is we need to change our mentality when we play zone read quarterbacks. you cannot go into a game versus a zone read offense and think, I'm going to go back there and win the game for my team. That is the wrong way to think of playing the zone read. The first thing you need to do is the same exact thing you need to do if you're playing a triple option team. You have to do your jobs, okay? That's different when you're playing a drop back passer, which has a bunch of different options for different plays and places to go. Zone read, simple. There's two people who have the chance of getting the football, the running back or the quarterback, and sometimes that's a play action and split zones mixed with it. But until teams see us stop that, they're going to do it. And this is true. If Whit Weeks does not make that interception versus Arkansas, that game was 16-10. We had punted the football back. And the receiver was open on that play too. Like, they would have gotten like a 7-yard reception or something. We don't know. But we're on the footstep and we changed it. Okay. Now, I don't know how much longer I can go. This stream has been really hard. I've wanted to unleash more fury. I thought I would be a little bit more angry, but you know, you look back at some of the clips that I had over the weekend, you kind of cringe, but I don't take anything back because it's not really who I am. Am I exciting, exuberant, big personality? Sure. But I love this team. I don't want anyone to feel bad per se. But this was a step too far this past weekend. Okay. We always want first-timers to feel welcome. So everyone say hi to Chris Tripp Nobles. Or is it Noblesh? Why is your nickname Tripp? Because you're a Tripp? Everybody, welcome Tripp to the channel. What is this? Is this a... What kind of whip do we have here, Tripp? That rhymes all the time. Yeah, so Spears has had a few when he's played since, you know, the big tackles he made versus South Carolina. He's had a few rough moments in the actual game time that he's played, but I would like to see him play more. I do. Okay. But welcome to the channel, Tripp. I got Tripp for sale. See? Okay, another thing. Please be careful regarding the information regarding Georgia and Tennessee. There's plenty of different reports out there with Nico playing or not playing this weekend. Okay. I'll leave it at that. There's all different kinds of stuff out there. And I'll say one more thing. You know, you guys know, I think a lot of you know me personally, okay? I really, really, really think you guys have gotten to know me. In my opinion on these final few games has always been different from most LSU fans, right? There's probably half of LSU fans who always feel deflated after we beat after we get beat by Alabama, because the season's over. We can't really compete for a natty because it was only a 4-team playoff. But if you were to live like that, you would be missing out on some of the best wins in LSU history. To me, one of my favorite LSU victories of all time will be 2020 Florida. And that game was very important. That game set Florida back. I really do think it ended the Mullen tenure. Who cares you lost to Alabama in the SEC championship game? You're never winning that game to begin with. That game set you back. So these games do matter. They do. And I am not a playoff or bust guy. I never have been, never will be. And I like to celebrate every last game that we play. We only get 12 of these a year. And when you do this 365 like I do, and I don't cover LSU baseball as closely as others, and I do a lot of, I actually do a lot of women's basketball stuff, but not like as much as we do football stuff. You appreciate every game. So I want all of that to be clear. We're still going to do pregame, halftime, postgame, all that stuff. I will say, though, with the 12-team playoff, these final three games do feel a little bit different for me. Okay? Because now it does change some things. It does make you a little bit more disappointed. Because you can look at it and say, well, gosh darn, we're LSU. We recruit in the top five. We pay our coaches a lot of money. And you're telling me that we can't even survive with two losses until the final few weeks of the season to be in contention? It's tough. It's really tough to rectify that, especially if you're like me and you know how lucky we were to beat Ole Miss in South Carolina. So it does feel bad. I'll be honest, every other Florida game and every other game that we've played after Alabama, after all the times they've kicked our ass or beaten us or whatever, I've always been like, well, it's Saban. There's only four teams that make the playoff. I'm going to enjoy these final few games. I'll be honest, it's a little bit harder this time around. I'm still going to celebrate if we beat Florida. I'm still going to celebrate if we beat Vandy. Still going to celebrate if we beat Oklahoma. Because like we said, you still could find a way into the SEC championship game. But you're telling me we couldn't beat shitty USC? You're telling me that we had the collapse of the year against Texas A&M? You're telling me we couldn't play Alabama competitively? Sammy, what's good? Let's go to Doom. You know what defense doesn't stop a player like Milroe? One where they know their offense doesn't have the ability to score or will give the ball to the other team at will. Oh, yeah. Carvis, you're not the only one. All right. And it takes a lot of courage to say this. There's someone else that I talked to before the stream tonight that's also canceled the trip. It's your money. Do what you want. I mean, it's just how it is. Okay. And it's, I don't think Jared minds you saying it. Jared did have to work, but he could have potentially got out of it. It's not worth it. Yeah, he gave it away. I wasn't going to say it, but I did. So there you go. It sucks. It sucks. And trust me, when the team loses, my super chats go down. It's just how it works. So I lose. But it's not about that. I would rather the team win. Okay. Now, here's what we're going to do. In the next 10 to 15 minutes, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep the party moving. I will say this tomorrow night. We'll be live normally as we always do at 6. But I am doing something new. I'm starting a Washington Commander show on my NFL channel. And obviously, I told every Commander fan, they blow my film studies up over there on Power Hour NFL. I said, yeah, I'll do a live show. It's going to be Jaden Daniels propaganda. And obviously, they don't mind. But I'll post a link in the Discord. I'll post a link tomorrow. But, you know, I don't mind talking about Jaden Daniels for 30 minutes. It's just going to be LSU stories. But, no, I am going to be breaking down some clips from the Commanders games and how good he's been and all that good stuff. Yeah, I do. This is a big problem with the Brian Kelly era. All right. And this is why having players like Sadrine and Major Burns hurts you so much. And I know it sounds like a broken record, but the touchdown saving tackle is the most underrated skill. You must make other teams score and put it into the end zone. Alabama had not a great touchdown percentage in Power Four games this year. You got to make them convert. Alabama made two touchdown saving tackles at the 3 yard line. And guess what? That saved them 11 points. They tackled Caden Durham at the 3 yard line, and they were able to because we couldn't block outside zone throughout the course of the season. So we had to move our tight end to the right side. There's no one there to block the backside corner. So he was able to make the touchdown saving tackle. Then we hit Kyron Lacy. Garrett Nussmeier extended a play, hit Kyron Lacy. Then he threw the crappy pick. Now, I wanted to save this for the end because there's been a lot of Garrett Nussmeier discussion. And should LSU see what they have in Ricky Collins? Yes. I do. I think you should at least see what you have. Okay. Play him in a competitive portion of at least a bowl game, just like you did a few years ago with Jaden and Nuss. It's basically the same thing you did versus Purdue. It makes no sense to not see it. At least see what you have, right? I understand everyone's ready. Bryce Underwood, and I like Bryce. We interviewed him and I think he will end up signing with LSU. I do. Okay. But you guys don't know. I'm probably the most pro-Nuss guy. Probably. Even though I feel like I've been very critical of him. Because I actually, you know, a lot of channels do this, but I try to share as many clips as I possibly can. If I'm being critical or supportive of him. I think he should start versus Florida at the very least. And see how it goes. That's a good question, Eric. So, he's talking about the you're talking about the JJ Pegues formation. Yeah, it does help that they have a defensive tackle who played quarterback in high school to do that, but it's all timing. Okay. Ole Miss's timing of their offense is really good. You know what's interesting is I don't think Ole Miss's offensive line is that great. I honestly don't think they're that great. I just think the play calling is really good. And I think they're borderline elite everywhere. They're not elite at running back. They're very good at tight end, very good at receiver, very good at quarterback. elite on the defense. That's one of the best defensive lines I've ever seen in the SEC. And it's definitely the best defensive line, not at LSU, not at Georgia, not at Alabama, where you have, you know, an advantage in recruiting. No, I don't think so, Carvis. I don't. All right. This is a good question. Like, could Ricky going in hurt Bryce Underwood going to LSU? I mean, it could. Quarterbacks, in theory, do change things more. But this is – I want to preface this by saying that I am not Shea Dixon or Sam Spiegelman. They actually talk to the recruits and talk to the coaches of the high school teams a lot more. Jared Roser, you guys know those guys, right? What I will say, though, is I talked to some, all right? And one thing that has always been overrated, I feel, when it comes to recruits, is results of games. Okay? If a team wins big or they have a high-profile win, can that help flip a recruit? Yeah, if you go on a national championship run, it can. I don't think getting blown out by Alabama hurts as much as you think it would. I'm serious. I don't think so. I think if you lose to Troy or if you lose to somebody like that, it could change some things. But really, two things move recruits. Coaching changes and money. All right? One result's not going to change it. But coaching changes and money moves recruits. All right. Now, could a player change a recruit's mind? Sure, but not so much a true freshman. You know, think about it. If you're a true freshman and you've been developing a relationship with the position coach for years now, are you really going to change your opinion because some guy magically emerges at a certain position? I don't think so. It is a little bit different at quarterback. So it is a good point by you, Carvis. But I don't think that matters as much. If anything, the opposite can be true. Like, if I were to go to a game and I see a team's playing like ass, me as a recruit will take that. Well, hell, I could come to LSU where Tyrann Mathieu played and start right away. But look, I know a lot of you feel one way about Garrett Nussmeier. A lot of you feel others. But he's won us a lot of football games this year. Like, some of the throws are so good that guys that get paid a lot of money to evaluate NFL players, even after this Alabama game, still has them ranked pretty highly. Okay? So he's done a lot of things to win us the Ole Miss game, win us the South Carolina game. He's also done some things to lose those games as well. But you're telling me that a quarterback who has had, as we pointed out in every film study, not great center play and no running game, we can't just poo-poo the guy altogether. I just don't see that. Okay. Now, there's some other things that other first-year starters like a Jay Norburrow could give you that Garrett doesn't give you. Yeah, there are some things like running. That's obviously the big thing. But Garrett, for the most part, has been pretty good. Outside of the last three halves of football. So there you go. Now, we'll take a few more. But Garrett's got to play better. He's just due. He just has to. Okay? And I love Garrett. You guys know that. I love Garrett.
I really do. Okay?
But here's the thing. Statistically, has Garrett done some things better than Jaden or Burrow in their first years? Yeah. Yes. But, and both of those guys have better, for the most part, better defenses, okay? But those guys also didn't go out there and throw some of these games away like Garrett has, Okay. And that's the God's honest truth. Okay. The turnovers, as we pointed out a million times, it's just been an issue. Okay. But I still believe in some nuts. I do. Yeah, I can't talk about these Pelicans. But I got the Riz. I got the Riz. Let's go. Riz. Riz me up. I'm about to Riz myself. Huh? The Riz. The Riz. God bless. Order is restored with the Riz. Tyrann Mathieu getting picks. With the Riz, baby. What would the Saints record be with the Riz? They'd be 500 if he was their coach. Minimum. We're in. We're in. Huh? Huh? But do you really want to be in? What would the LSU fandom look like in Atlanta? Of you think we're going undefeated. What's up, Seth? It's been a while, bro. All right, y'all. That'll do it for me. We'll be live tomorrow at 6 p.m. Central. Actually, we'll be live at 6 on the NFL channel. We'll be live at 7, and we'll see you then. Okay? It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! And tonight, we are doing... barbecue chicken. In honor of Shaq. Let's go.